Blog Talk Radio.
I'm telling you, it's not even funny how that syncs up. Welcome.
Welcome, Bella.
So we say Wednesday. Isn't that cool? Every time I think it's our new guest.
It is.
We have a great guest, and he brought some good music juju. So we say Wednesday. Woo-hoo! How's it going, peeps out in the Weed Day Wednesday world? How is
doing?
Everybody? We have a fun show tonight. We are doing something new. We're calling the Canna News Hour. But before we explain that, we will explain what Weed Day Wednesday is.
We have interviews.
Strain reviews.
Product reviews. News and information about everything and anything.
Anything.
Medical cannabis related
oh, yeah.
in the Tucson, cannabis. Arizona, and the world at
large. Call 646-915-8421. Email your friends, text your friends, blog your friends. Go knock on their front door. Tell them to check this out. You can email us, blog your questions, or just, you know, send a pigeon. We do pigeon carrier. We got a place for them to land. We've got some bird feed. No rice. They'll blow up. You know, we're humane around here. PETA likes us. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center for hosting this special show along with certifications. You'll find classes, lectures, demonstrations, medication, and all things educational related to medical cannabis.
www.tumbleweedshealthcenter.com.
Check it out. So tonight, well, this weekend, I'm sure, and I hope if you don't know, you'll know now, is World AIDS Day. So that's world, people, like not just Tucson.
Like the whole world.
The world at large.
The world at large.
The thing we like.
The
yeah.
whole planet Earth.
Yeah, I like that better.
Yeah.
Planet Earth.
But if people don't know it, HIV and AIDS is one of the medical reasons for getting a medical cannabis card.
It sure is. You're approved for that.
Yep.
And if you go down to Tumbleweeds, they have a really nice little book on HIV, AIDS, and cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
You can read all about it. So that is this Saturday. That's happening at Hotel Congress. We got some card holders here.
Mm-hmm.
Hotel Congress, and that begins, I believe, around 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to start around 3, 4 in the afternoon.
3, 4 in the afternoon till midnight.
Right? Yeah, all night long.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Until people start taking their little tents and tables down.
Right. 1 to 2.
Yeah. All right. You are hearing the voice of Mr. Jeremy. We'll keep last names out. He is Jeremy. Let's have you actually introduce yourself. This is a surprise guest. We were just going to, like, read the boring old news until our surprising guest showed up. We can call him Jamaica Jeremy. All right.
Surprise.
Jamaica
Jeremy.
Surprising
Jeremy.
There you go. All right. Well, Jeremy, we're going to let you explain how you got here to Tumbleweeds. You tumbled in not even knowing what you're doing tonight. That's awesome. That's
good.
A good friend.
Yes, thank you.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you. We love having you.
So tell us.
So, yeah, we have World AIDS Day, which is coming up this Saturday. It's a whole day event. It takes place Club Congress annually for the last, we've been doing it there for 5 years. This year we're trying to do things a little bit different than we've done them in the past. As we go, we just progress with different ideas. So this year, the theme of the night is been taken on the idea of like EVE and the life that he went through with dealing with HIV and that whole different demographic of people where it was not even really unaccepted.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of dedicating the whole night to this EVE theme, to kind of understanding this different demographic of what this person went through that many other people don't see. And I guess what we try to do a lot in the community is we've brought out like the heterosexuals, like the younger heterosexuals.
Youth.
And well, not even youth, but youth up to like in the 30s,
mm-hmm.
Of heterosexuals getting into the HIV community, coming and participating in through like bands and artists, and just supporters and other creative artists that I can't even think about all coming together, and that you're increasing your demographic people that you want. You're not just going to protect one. It's not about homosexuals. It's not just about heterosexuals. So
not everybody.
You try, and so this year I feel we've grown with that, where you know, we're not deciding one or the other, but we just have like an intermingling, like a good area we have been building towards of everyone needs to get tested. It doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, white, black, whatever, I'm not sure, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
absolutely.
You just got to do it. So that's really important about World AIDS Day. That's like the biggest thing globally is what people typically like to do is test a whole bunch of people, you know? Like I was in Africa last year and we went out in the fields and one day we tested 200 people last year at World AIDS Day in the fields of like rural villages in Tanzania. It's pretty rough.
Wow.
But we reached our goal of like 240 or something. It was pretty intense, how they know those numbers. So that was amazing. And we won't hit those numbers here in Tucson, which is kind of sad. You know, you think more youth would come out. They have more education. They're not as afraid. Then you go up to somebody in Tanzania who has no idea what you're going to stick in their arm and if they could trust them. And, you know, most of the people here are fairly educated to know what an HIV test is and how easy it is to get. And you can go down to at least a few clinics in your town and get one right away and find out your status in 20 minutes.
Why do you think that people here are not as willing?
Willing what? So
to get tested.
To get tested? Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same like here, just mm-hmm. as it is 10,000 miles away in freaking Tanzania, because you got like people over here, you're educated, you're smart, you know what the disease will do to you. Mm-hmm. You know if you take the risk that it's going to eventually lead to getting the disease. And so once you, like, break that, you stop that, you're just, like, I don't know, I guess you just kind of, like, forget you don't have this, you know, no, like, I don't know. Not that they don't think they're going to forget if they're going to get the disease,
mm-hmm.
but, like, I don't know.
It's kind of almost in the back of their mind. Or,
right, you know, something in that mindset.
Right.
And I don't know, I think you just have to look that if they, you know, they think they're going to get the disease, that's just going to breed fear, that they don't want anybody to know that if they were, you know, there's all these other, all these crazy things to come to a person when they think they could have been infected or something, or maybe just ever thought about it.
Right.
We just get, you know, we got to spread more just education around it. It's not that big of a deal to go get an HIV test and to start taking care of yourself and dealing with it and just like be healthy and get that done. But so many people go through the emotional and mental stress of finding out they're newly HIV positive, diagnosed positive. And that's probably the hardest part that is, you know, and so it's the same here. You get the person really like stabilized with their mental state, with their status. And then, you know, treatment, like, you know, emotional treatment of how that person is going to now maintain their life
right.
in a different way. So it's kind of hard to bring those, you know, it's a couple of bridges those people got, you know, you have to go through.
Sure.
To kind of get there. But I don't know. What do we always say? It's like a death sentence. They say to people all the time now, it's not a death sentence.
Right.
Now. But to a lot of these people, when they're first told they were HIV positive, including myself, it was a fucking death sentence. Can I cuss?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
We didn't believe you. Do it. Beep. Oh, sorry.
But, you know,
that's
so, bullshit. Like,
yeah.
So
World AIDS Day.
World AIDS Day. Our fifth annual One Health at Congress.
Fifth annual.
So,
nice.
Last 3 years we have been working. I've been working in Tanzania for 2 years and Heather's been back here working. So the last 3 years for my work in Africa and her work here in Tucson, we branched out in our own communities, mine being 10,000 miles away in the middle of Tanzania. And so we just went out and did our own HIV projects and awareness campaigns, teaching campaigns for me and a lot of that in Tanzania. And so building on that idea of what I was doing here and she was doing there, I met with so many HIV positive young women and children, because those are the only ones over there suffering and dying of the disease, because the men are kind of all gone, which is weird. So it's very heterosexual disease, which people don't understand,
right.
You know?
Sure.
It's very different. You walk into a country where gay is not considered really accepted at all in their culture, and then it's just women and children that are suffering.
Right.
And that's pretty insane to
yeah.
see. So it's a different,
wow.
yeah. I don't know. So there's some differences you see with, but it's more about the disparities, what people don't have. You know, they don't have the proper nutrition or fresh water. Like, the woman showed me the meds and the antiretrovirals that she had to take, this one woman, and feed to her, like, four-year-old son. But, like, I asked her, well, not having meds, what's your biggest, you know, deal, like, your problem? And she's like, we're sitting just like, the size of a little, I don't know, like a porta potty. That was her, maybe a little bit bigger, but that was her house, you know? Very, very poor in the slums of Tanzania. And she's like, well, I have my medicine, but how do I feed my child food? Because I have no fresh water. I have no fresh vegetables to even sell on the market. And I'm like, so, you know, I'm here to help this woman with her HIV and relate with her on that level. But she's got the meds, but then she doesn't have the rest of the resources to help keep her alive and keep her healthy.
Sure.
She got the meds, but if she's not going to have the food and the fresh water, then
right.
they're not going to be, like...
Very helpful.
No. So...
Body's not going to be able to assimilate.
Kind of
sucks,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of that I saw there. But, you know, like, the inspiration was we brought back, like, the 16-year-old girl newly diagnosed, and we brought her message all the way back to Tucson last year, and about all she had learned about 3 weeks into her diagnosis, she became my best friend. Her name is Clara.
Oh.
And I taught her all about what it's like to be newly diagnosed for the whole, like, 4 months we knew each other and kind of just, like, bonded with her. And we tried to bring her back. I don't know if she's going to be or not, but, you know, that girl was 16 years old, and her learning, because we tested her, she got into our group of, like, teachers and community workers, and she walked all to our classes and saw what we were teaching and starting to understand what had happened to her. And she basically didn't know anything about the disease, and I was having this girl bringing me pills, like, every week,
yeah.
you know, like, walking to my village 9 miles just to bring me these pills and be like, what are these that they're giving me, you know?
Oh.
And at that time, my Swahili wasn't so good. And so we'd sit there and trying to understand each other. We got to the point eventually, but
wow.
And so we became
Swahili.
Really, and she'd come over and ask me questions, and she, you know, like a CD4 count to keep you healthy. She goes, if I cry, will that affect my CD4 count? And I'm like, Clara, no, cry.
Wow.
You need to cry. You know, like, that girl has a lot of misconceptions about the disease. You know,
mm-hmm.
And she's very scared.
Oh,
so,
really,
and I told her, I started crying. I'm like, Clara, cry. I cry all the damn time. You want to see me do it now?
Yeah.
I can cry.
Yeah.
So, and she did.
Wow.
The whole last
gonna
week.
Help.
The whole last
Splinter.
Week I spent with her, all she did was cry.
Wow.
Good to do.
She's been holding it in for so
yeah.
long.
Well, I still, from the first moment I met her, she seemed like this 16-year-old, very strong, closed-in girl. And that could go out and maybe say a story like that 3 weeks after, and talk to a bunch of white Americans that she had never met. And she was just kind of, she did it. But her heart wasn't into it, and it was quite painful. And then I spoke after her, kind of, because we introduced a Tanzanian living with and an American living with to a group of our students that we were going to be sitting out in the field. And then they suddenly saw a white American living with the disease and a Tanzanian. So and their stories. So that kind of, yeah, so that was,
yeah.
But she wasn't really quite ready for it, but...
No.
But, like, she told me about how she couldn't tell, like, her mother at all. Like, there was no way. And so when I was talking about my, you know, diagnosis or how I actually was infected by HIV, I thought about, well, so how did you, you know, you think about how did that happen and how you may have actually gotten infected by the disease. But, what is that going to do to help you go further?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're always worried about, you know, the semantics, I suppose, or it's here now. Mm-hmm. Like, I have so many circumstances of people where they don't want to live just because of the circumstance of what's happened, from whatever mistakes or whatever reasons that have happened or incidents, you know, it's anything. But it's all about, like, moving on and living. And this young girl, she had it in her. And I spent 3 months with her. And by the end of that, I think she's going to probably, like, be out there in Tanzania.
Like, a big, huge advocate. Mm-hmm. I mean, out there, she taught her something that she's going to remember, I mean, and do for the rest of her life.
Well, and it's going to help her,
right,
too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Jeremy, what is cannabis as medicine look like in Africa?
Well, so, my only... well,
and
my last
you.
3 weeks in Africa, my last 3 weeks in Africa, I came around some cannabis in the village that will be undisclosed. and one of the villagers came over to me and gave me these two rolled very tightly pieces of, like, hard paper, pushed in real deep on it. I'm like, what is this? He's like, want some pot? I'm like, really?
Whoa.
I've been in Tanzania for three months.
Why is it just now?
I know. You could have used
3 months ago.
I'm leaving in a week. And so he gives me these two tubes that I thought were really weird.
One more time? What did you say?
He gave me these two little tubes.
Tubes?
Like,
ground up medicine.
No, it was tubes made out of paper to put the pot inside.
Oh,
so
cool.
I couldn't see what the pot was.
Huh.
So it was just like a tube that was tightly rolling around some pot and then tucked in on the side.
Okay.
Very almost cigar-like.
Okay.
I like
it.
Interesting. I think I want one.
It kept all your shit inside because you probably got to, like, walk 4 miles to get home.
Oh, no.
That's probably why. Yeah.
Good God.
You keep it consolidated. Keep it all there. You don't want to lose any.
Oh, hell no.
You don't want to handle
that
shit with your pot.
Hell no.
You don't want to be dropping that everywhere.
I find it the next day.
do they use it as medicine there? Or is
that's
it... Yeah. We ask the hard questions here.
I have not seen them using it in Tanzania as medicine. And
recreational?
Yeah, definitely recreational.
Like, is that why they slipped you that? Kind of just kind of here's some enjoyment kind of thing?
Exactly. Like, you know, and it doesn't seem like a bad thing within the society. It's just kids experimenting or grown-ups fucking smoking marijuana because they want to.
There you go.
Because they want to.
Did you talk to them about it as medicine? Or?
In Tanzania, I don't... Well, you know what? Interesting, because I did have a conversation of somebody about the idea of this being medicine and or, like... This was not medicine completely. Like, I don't know if he confronted me that it wasn't medicine and I was telling him it was medicine or something of that nature. But the idea of, in his mind, it's not a medicine because it's just like a plant and it's not respective of, like, I would suppose Muslim religion of, like, Allah,
mm-hmm.
You know, so...
Right, because that's the religion.
Yeah, and so smoking this was not maybe any of that, you know, in his mind. But so it was just different. You know, but it wasn't going to stop me.
Or him.
Or him.
Right.
Interesting. So, that being
so World AIDS Day.
Yeah,
we got
World AIDS Day happening December 1st down at the
Club Congress.
Yeah. Club Congress and Hotel Congress.
We've been there for fifth year there.
And it's historical.
Oh,
it's the
nice.
Historical Hotel Congress in downtown Tucson. I'm sure everyone knows where that's at. And it's going to be starting at 4 o'clock.
Give the address for those who don't. What is the address? We'll find it right now.
We'll find
it. Yeah, starts about 4 and goes till about midnight.
You guys
midnight.
Are going to be having... What are
yeah,
some, what's
stuff,
some of the
okay.
entertainment that you guys are going to be having there?
And vendors, too, right? People talking about
yeah,
all this good
so
stuff.
Yeah, so we're... Well, there's a lot of stuff going on that day and different events, different arts and artists and speakers. So we expect a good group of people showing up by 4:00, and first we're having this thing. It's called the bike run. So there's all these different events where you get on your bike and go to all the bars and you get your tickets and
nice.
Whoever comes back in the next 2 hours,
comes back.
Yeah, right, or gets lost. And then a bunch of other events as well, you'll find out when you get there. But just, that's spring fun and different people out to the event. But as well, we're going to be doing testing on that day, which is obviously the most important thing to be doing in our community. It's to just test people because it's an event to increase awareness about HIV and AIDS.
Decrease the stigma.
You decrease the stigma and as well as test people, So it's all about that and prevention.
Different organizations going to be there?
Yeah, we're going to have lots of different other organizations there.
Tumbleweeds will be there, of course.
Tumbleweeds. We have SAFE that will be working with us.
Nice.
Hope. Human Services Health Department.
Yep.
Flux Productions. Club Congress. Give big thanks to them for
absolutely. And they are at 311 East Congress Street, Tucson, Arizona 85701. And we're going to actually get you a phone number here too, so that anybody that missed that they can call it if they didn't get that.
622-8848.
Oh, look at that! Holy smoke! It's just who we are.
We'll get you the information and ask the hard questions.
So they got music going on down there?
All right, so there's going to be music performances going on all day outside. It's going to be pretty warm. And we're going to be showing different varieties of, possibly cultural dance representing different parts of the world, So it'll be pretty cool.
Great.
And then while that's going on, there's going to be other all outside vendors that are selling their jewelry, their art, their paintings. And then we're going to have a bunch of live artists doing either graffiti or silk screening shirts, and possibly I think we have, I don't know if they're doing it for sure, but we could be having some people come down to blow glass at the same time, which would be really neat.
Lots of community.
And then some crazy thing called the polar bear plunge.
Oh no.
Yeah, so there's some infamous guy who lives here in Tucson, his name is Jericho. I guess he's decided to climb this infamous
the polar bear slide.
The infamous polar bear slide.
I'm a little frightened.
And
she's got quite a setup going on there.
I think he may crash it. I don't know. We'll see.
Wow.
So it's a slide that goes into a big pool of cold ice water. And I think he's doing it in
after he runs the bicycle race.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
that's going to be
in a
shocking
speedo. Speedo is.
Oh,
and so, but they'll
probably love him. He's a
fun
guy. Teddy bear.
Oh.
He's raised, I'm not exactly sure how much money he's raised yet, but
I don't know.
Yeah, that was one of the things.
Awesome. That's fantastic.
So he's definitely raised some money for it.
Money raised for awareness.
So, we got that going on all in the day, and then the kind of night just shifts of what we're trying to do and what we've kind of created in the last 2 years is where we're looking at what we're doing here with World AIDS Day and what it really means to our community and to the world at large. So we have, the same problems here going on, and my experiences and people that I've met in Africa have all these other experiences going on. So the work that I was doing there the last 2 years, I realized so many of the similarities and the differences between what these people were going through on opposite parts of the world living with the same disease and how it was so different. So I felt it was so important these people start communicating with one another, getting to know them. So it started out with 1,000 messages from HIV positive men and women just saying in hoops of how they felt about the HIV AIDS disease. And so I took those there to a support group up in the mountains, meant a great deal to them. And then I brought their messages back. Those were displayed 2 years ago. So that was really cool. So we started this first line of writing communication 10,000 miles apart. Next year, we brought Clara and this other Mama Martha. She was 35, living with the disease. And they both did our Skype via Skype at Congress last year and spoke about their disease and who they were and how they were living and doing well. And it was amazing. And so this year we tried to up the ante, and we're doing now Tanzania, Barcelona, Amsterdam.
Wow.
And we're gonna miss, what did I say? Tanzania, Barcelona,
Amsterdam.
Berlin,
and
Berlin. Amsterdam.
Berlin.
Wow. Yeah, four.
That's awesome.
I'm excited at this point, yeah.
Wow.
And then, you know, that's our next step. Next, you know, just raise the bar. I think it's cool. Now, you know, what started with this connection of Tucson and Tanzania, just like these last 2 years, now has like turned into a connection between Tucson, Tanzania, and then now Berlin and Amsterdam.
We're going to be joined in this.
In New York. And
that's
yeah,
really awesome.
It's really, really sweet.
That is sweet.
Well, when you think about it, the reason we do, this is the problem. You know, people do this stuff in their own fucking cities, and they don't look out globally. They just do it in their own towns. They don't understand what World AIDS Day is. It's not just a bunch of people throwing their own events in their own towns, not doing anything. So why, like, are we not making this a more connected experience throughout the world since it's World AIDS Day? So what I've done and been able to do with Positively Beautiful and SIC's help is like create this total communication line from across the world, people who are living with the same disease, building up almost like pen palships and even friendships that are lasting this and helping each other. Like, it's pretty amazing. And so, like, I think we can keep doing shit like that.
Absolutely. Raising awareness everywhere, not just, like you said, not local, but global.
Yeah, and you know, locally here, it seems to change.
As well.
In different ways.
I think one thing that we can bring into it is definitely the stigma. And, you know, coming from both parts, from the cannabis world and the HIV world, they're both so similar in the stigma where, you know, people are afraid to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want anyone to know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hidden thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you use it or have it, you don't want anyone to know.
Right.
Family looks at you differently. Mm-hmm. Some people's family looks at them differently.
Mm-hmm.
Friends looking at them differently. So you mean you definitely have that thing that goes in hand with the stigma of HIV and AIDS. And with it, how do they don't talk about it at all over there either in Tanzania. It's not, is the stigma being...
Well, yeah, they're talking about it more. It's not that they're talking about it more. It's this organizations like I was working for, Support for International Change, SIC. What they do is they get out there into the field and they start educating the youth, everyone from, you know, youth to 80 years old in these villages. They also take other Tanzanians, turn them into community health workers. So where they're going out into these villages.
Their peers.
Yeah, they're finding the HIV positive people. They're going and taking their medication because they can't get into the cities and making sure they're taking them and explaining them to how, you know, in their own way of how it's so important they need to take this medication. And this man doesn't understand. He's in a hut and he's like, why do you want to give me these pills? They're going to make me feel so sick. I don't want them. And he's like, so it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, to get these people to understand what you're trying to give them and how it's going to be good for you. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Can't imagine, especially with the language barrier.
A lot of times you get these people now quick because they live right up. A lot of them live right outside of the cities. And like Clara, the 16-year-old, when she was born in like Arusha, which is like 300,000. Fairly big city that I lived in for a little while too. You know, so that was very, very urban. As well, you know, I found it on both sides of the spectrum, right in the urban centers and right in like the Maasai Mountains, you know. And the most dangerous thing, though, they were having us work with like in the villages. But when I come back to the cities to get like a break from like all them damn kids that I was like managing or the volunteers that were working, all I wanted to do was go in the city and get like fucking hammered, you know. And so that's all I would do sometimes for like 3 days on the weekends when no, you know, volunteers had any problems. And I'd go out to all like the authentic African clubs and have an awesome ass time get really drunk on their beer, and meet some amazing Tanzanians and some really good friends. But I don't know. On that note, yeah, no. So you meet some very good Tanzanians over there that are gonna like support you and like always got your back of helping you in this like city that you don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't know. They're pretty welcoming people. And that, but.
So as far as the organizations that'll be there Saturday, who will be there? Do you know what other organizations? Like?
What other organizations?
Yeah, name some more organizations.
We mentioned. Who else are we missing?
There's COPE.
Positive,
Beautiful, Flux Production.
Yeah.
How do we get a hold of these organizations, like Beautiful and Flux, and what you're involved with? How do they contact you if someone, let's say someone internationally here,
would you like
some
email?
And that would be great.
Oh, they
email www's at.
Okay, so you can for SIC you can reach,
which is
Support for International Change.
Okay.
So for Support for International Change, SIC, you can contact Jeremy. ISAJIW. Okay. Yeah. At 300-1319.
And then for anyone
in the evenings.
And then for anyone that was for the World AIDS Day, they can check them out on World AIDS Day Tucson on Facebook.
Okay.
They can check out the Positively Beautiful page, which is positivelybeautifultucson.org.
And there's a Facebook page called World AIDS Day 2012. WAD, WAD or something.
Mm-hmm. And then for your local HIV and AIDS center here in Tucson, which would be the Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation, you can look them up at faaf.org.
Awesome. And what about an email to contact you directly if someone wants to email you if they don't have, they don't want a phone? A lot of people like to email.
Yeah.
The one I just gave you.
Well, I thought you gave a phone number. Did you not?
Oh, I thought I gave a phone number. Oh.
Yeah.
Of Jeremy? At sichange.org. Did you give
No. Sichange.org?
Yeah.
Sichange.
Okay. Jeremy at sichange.org.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You have some music that you...
Yeah.
We're going to play.
Yeah, we also have we actually have a Swahili comment.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What does it say?
You have to come look at it. I can't read it. Oh. Nylene Yo.
Let's see.
Right here. We got a couple.
Nakupenda. I mean, I love you. No, I say. Ziti. Nalingi yo. Ziti. No, nakupenda.
Okay.
It means no, I don't love you.
No, I don't love you?
Yeah. No, nakupenda. Because nakupenda is I love you. So it says no, nakupenda.
Huh.
I don't love you. I don't love it.
I don't love it.
Interesting translation. All right. If there are any Swahilis out there and we've messed that up, let
us
know.
Yeah, well, you let me know. Okay. Mambo, Rafikis, Tanzanians, Abali Sana, Nawewe, Mimi, Nzuri Sana, Anafika, Tucson.
Ah, there you go.
That might have been nice.
I was just going to say that. Dang it.
I listen to a lot of Swahili hip hop. Always like breakbeat. I mean, I listen to all different music, but I always have a love of breakbeat and drums and percussion. And found these Maasai bands, and their music is just really inspirational. So I got all these really cool freaking Tanzanian men like, doing some amazing music that I've never ever heard before.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Wow, we need to
do
some of that.
Clubs
and
stuff.
What's that?
Do you hear it in their club?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
very cool.
That's what I was telling you. When I got away from those volunteers, that's all we did was go out to the. They'd all go to like the, you know, where they playing American music in those bars in Africa. I'm like, I'm in Africa. Why do you need to be in a freaking bar that's playing
all this music that
So you know, we're out in the like local bars, you know, which are just like packed, slamming. That was my back to the whole point. It was like danger zone because all it was like sexuality.
Huh.
I mean, you had your 16, 17 year olds up to like 30s and 40s all like going crazy And this was like, and it was so seductive because it's just in Kenya and in Tanzania, a little bit modest more in Tanzania, but it's still, the sexuality is just like exuding, and like the prostitution is like still way there. And the condom, and the condom use is now like in the village life right now. And it's not really, you know, they can go down to the hospitals, they can go down to some dukas in the cities, but there's no really programs about prevention, about use of condoms and awareness. So I don't see them using them, and they don't, they're not finding them at the bars at 4 o'clock in the morning that aren't dispensing them when everything else is closed at night. So they're not finding that shit to protect themselves. So, and then I saw all these prostitution going on. Then the funniest thing about it, I never could know all these girls when they come over to dance with me, which one was either a prostitute or a nice girl that wanted to dance. And, you know, because one girl would come up and we'd start dancing, and I'm like, yeah. And then the other girl would come up and she starts, like, smacking me on my hip with her, like, pocketbook. And that was, and I didn't get it the first time. Second time,
there's
the second girl, they walk by you and they just go, shh. And that means that they're the prostitute and they want you to pay up.
Wow.
It's interesting. Really, it took me a while.
Very interesting.
But on that note.
On that note. Let's play. Well, we don't have any Swahili, but we can bust into a little song actually from one of the writers of Treating Yourself magazine. It's called Mary Jane. We played this a little while ago, but we'll play it again. Take a break, come back. We'll get to some news and chat with Jeremy a little more. And here we go, Mary Jane.
Six-hour drive and I'm running late. I'm burning borrowed time, every second counts. I keep telling myself, boy, better slow down. But I'll be feeling so much better when I see those city lights. The sheriff pulls me over, he'll be reading me my rights. Outlaw life. It's an outlaw life, outlaw life. Baby, Chinese medicine for centuries. Some folks claim that it's helping them to see. Those are ill and they just can't be. Oh, it takes a Mary Jane. Ain't into politics, but now my doctor's doing time for helping out the sick. Outlaw life, it's an outlaw life, it's an outlaw life. Well, I don't want no trouble, I can't take the word. If I can bust it, I hope that you're on my jewelry.
I didn't do that. I didn't write that, but that sounded fun. We're going to do a little news now. That's always good to hear. Good to share. News is good. It's how we get edumacated around here. So there's a lot of talk about dispensaries coming to town. In fact, up in Phoenix, I believe the name
first one.
Organics.
Mm-hmm.
They were
Glendale.
Yeah, they were approved. They got the go-ahead, but I believe they're waiting a little bit. So let's see. I think I have some news articles here.
They were, from what I remember, they were they passed that date, but they weren't ready to open.
Mm-hmm. Ready as in business wasn't ready.
Business wasn't ready. They had passed everything, but business for them wasn't ready. So they applied for an extension, and I think they got a 5-week.
Oh.
Extension?
Okay.
Is that what it says?
Are you reading that? No, I'm trying to find it right now, but that sounds... Right. I did hear about the extension. I didn't know how long it was, so... Okay.
I thought it was something like that.
Excuse me. 5 weeks is not bad for the Phoenix folks. now in Tucson, while we're trying to find that article here, Tucson, there are a couple dispensaries. Green Medicine, I believe, was the one in Tucson that is the suspect to open soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Green
Broadway
Halo. Yeah. Broadway Cole.
Broadway Cole.
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
And Wilmot I-10.
Wilmot and I-10.
Is the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we were trying to find those articles, and I'm sure I have one actually here right in the news. So it says, proposed medical pot shop first to be inspected approved in Tucson. The ability of medical marijuana cardholders in the Tucson area to grow their own could start to be phased out as early as this week. State officials plan Tuesday to inspect a dispensary. This was last week. A step that could quickly lead to approval of a license to operate. That's what occurred last week in the Phoenix area when a Glendale dispensary was approved the same day it was inspected. That triggered a provision in the medical marijuana law to end cardholders' authorizations to grow marijuana when their current cards are up for renewal. That provision applies if cardholders are within 25 miles of a dispensary. State officials cannot identify dispensaries, but KOLD identifies the Tucson facility as the Green Halo on South Wilmot Road. Now, that's an interesting thing because I didn't know that they could automatically just, you know, stop your growing rights as of right now because the dispensary hasn't actually opened.
Right.
So technically, everybody should still be able to check that box of
I heard that they were giving everyone a time, like
you get
yeah,
a year.
A year.
But
so, yeah,
so after the dispensary is open, you get a year. But let's say you've got 9 months left on your card to grow, then that's it. Within that year, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have a week left or you could have a full year left. But
right,
whatever you have left within the year when the dispensary opens, if you're 25 miles within. Now, I don't know about you all, but I'm hoping somebody, Mr. Dean, if you're listening, that's our lawyer, you know, we'll challenge him. But we'd like to challenge that rule because I, you know, a lot of us here personally feel that if you grow your own organic medicine, you know what's in it, you know what suits you best, you know what heals you
right,
and works for you, you should be able to grow that for yourself if you're capable and able.
Right.
And I don't
just
think
like
that right thing you should
growing
take it
their
away.
Own tomatoes and their own vegetables.
Yeah, what, yeah, exactly.
Their stuff that they're growing.
Exactly. They should be able
and,
to grow it.
I mean, definitely make no one's selling it, you know, that's what they're worried about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's actually multiple things that's probably Arizona Department of Health and
oh, I'm sure.
You know, what
getting it
about.
In the wrong hands,
mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
are
dealers,
people,
kids.
Gonna, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if everyone's growing it, but it takes a lot of time. And
it does take a lot of time and a lot of care.
So it's a big responsibility to take on, and I don't think a lot of people want to take on that responsibility. I think some people love it and enjoy it and should be able to do it.
Because it is very therapeutic
to
garden. Gardening is very therapeutic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very
yeah.
therapeutic.
And I think that I think the people that
mm-hmm.
do want, that want to grow it and have want the responsibility to grow it, and they should be able to.
Absolutely. They absolutely
And the
should.
Ones that need to
Especially,
go to the dispensaries or a
yeah, or
health center
to,
or
right.
things like that.
They can go.
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 Let the patient decide.
The patient choose. Exactly.
I mean, if he's not there.
Once again, they're taking rights away from people they shouldn't
right.
be in control of and they shouldn't take away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Wow.
Don't get me started.
We have the hard question.
We do. We'll be back in a minute. So let's talk about, on that note, let's talk about Colorado and Washington with
Yes, the
legalization.
Federal The federal government, I have an email here. Let's see. It's something about Washington supporting. I should get my emails in order because we weren't really as ready for the show. But it is, oh my gosh, it's gone.
What?
It's gone. MJ Freeway. Here we go. They're talking about Illinois. A veto session could make MMJ legal there, which Washington, Colorado, maybe Illinois. Mm-hmm. California didn't. It didn't pass California. I'm not really sure why you think that, you know, they were trying to pass a proposition called make cannabis like wine, marijuana like wine. Mm-hmm. So for those, you know, of a certain age, they could go and kind of like what Colorado and Washington did
mm-hmm.
for recreational use. Did you have something on Colorado and Washington?
Well, I just was going to say, I think after Washington and Colorado, I think in the next few years, we're going to start seeing a domino effect. We're going to start seeing states wake up.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to start seeing a lot of people wake up.
Mm-hmm.
I think a
whole hell of a lot of dispensaries.
Yeah, you're definitely going to see that, but I definitely...
How many legislators come...
Well, 126, I think.
Only 126?
Yeah, here. That's what the state set up.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought there was more than that.
Yeah, the chods that they have here, I can't even remember how many chods they have here in Tucson, but I think
like
with this all
11.
Happening in Colorado and Washington, I think we're definitely going to see a domino effect through the other cities and states.
Well, and with the articles like this coming out, it says potential U.S. marijuana market estimated at $46 billion. Estimated. According to the number crunchers at Washington State's Office of Financial Management, a fully functioning marijuana market could result in an in-state total of 1.021 billion gross sales of marijuana grams per year. Only 2.15% of the U.S. population lives in Washington State, so extrapolated, this data could indicate if cannabis were legalized nationally, the total U.S. marijuana marketplace could be as big as $46.42 billion per year. This does not include ancillaries such as hydroponics or paraphernalia shops, services to the dispensary industry such as landlords, testing labs, security systems, insurance, advertising, etc. Wow, those are big numbers. So, you know, there's
your
question.
What was your number? Did it say what it was?
$46.42 billion if, you know, the United States.
And that cuts. this report found says the legalization of cannabis would cut the cartel income by $1.37 billion or 23% of its $6 billion in sales in the United States. Legalization in Colorado and potentially represents a similar decline.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're also talking about it taking down the cartels and the movement of illegal drugs and substances coming over across the borders.
Well, and I've heard before that Mexican president has asked our country to legalize it because it would do just that.
It would.
It would really
reduce
crime.
Reduce. People aren't fighting.
Reduce.
Right.
Fighting for it over the border when
there's no need for it up here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because people were trying to get that very bad dirt weed up from Mexico
mm-hmm.
that was, you know, held in gas tanks. And
right.
It was terrible.
It's poorly grown.
Yeah.
It's poorly brought
it's
here.
It's grown in the dry soil.
It's not taken
garbage.
Care of at all. And there's no reason why I think
it's so unhealthy.
Yeah.
And see, so they want to sell that shit.
And not even knowing what they're growing with the pesticides and
absolutely.
Things like that.
Absolutely.
And, they're just destroying land and mm-hmm. the earth and the environment and
so,
the whole slew
of
reasons you don't want that stuff.
And
you know?
I think once it gets, when this gets into the right hands and people start realizing what...
Conflict cannabis. There was a whole article in High Times about conflict cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
Just like your conflict diamonds. You don't want,
you don't want to go and invade your...
You don't want war about
just
because of this.
You don't
want
to make war on the environment to grow your own plant.
No,
you can do
or
it.
On each other.
You can do it in like a symbiosis. Very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take too much either.
It says, here we got a little article about a weekly wrap-up. It says, solid medical cannabis patient numbers in Arizona. The wait continues. It's been nearly 3 weeks since the first two states in the nation legalized marijuana, and still no response from the federal government. MMJ businesses in Colorado and Washington are now in a holding pattern, unsure whether to continue focusing on medical cannabis or to start moving toward the recreational market. The pressure has been growing on Obama to not only detail the government's stance on legalization, but to also respect the will of the voters in Colorado and Washington when it comes to marijuana. Last week, a group of retired and current judges, prosecutors, and law enforcement officials joined this growing chorus, urging the feds to take a hands-off approach. At the same time, however, others, including a top United Nations official and foreign leaders, are pressuring the government to challenge the new laws. So, you know, there's always going to be someone for it and someone against it.
But I think it's going to pass.
I mean, when it comes down to the pros and cons, the pros are so much higher than the cons.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it just, it goes.
Yeah, I have two friends moving up to Seattle. And
because of this?
Well, no, because of others. They lived up there.
Okay.
But they're just down here, and they're going back. Jeff and Todd, they've been together for like 8 years.
And are they going up there for the...
Well, they just adopted their first child, and so they're going to move and live in Spokane.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, if you think about it, it's
nice.
Where
yeah.
the gays are going.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to feel equal and a part of things.
Well,
you
some
know?
Of the gays. Yeah.
Some of the gays.
Washington's kind of rainy. It's too rainy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so they're moving up there.
Yeah,
are they moving up there for
work?
For work
to take care of the, like, the first experience of raising a child, I guess.
Yeah. Cool. That's a good
nice place.
It is a nice place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out in the wilderness. It's
It'll be cold.
Beautiful.
We're going up there in the winter, so it's gonna be
cold but beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy. Yeah. You're gonna need a couple.
I lived in Germany and Michigan and Wisconsin. I hated it. Every moment.
I can't stand the cold.
I would bust my ass on all the ice and break my tailbones falling down steps in school and shit. I was the worst walking on ice and driving fucking cars on ice, dude.
Just couldn't do it.
I lived through a mini snow season and I still don't understand what it's good for. Okay,
yeah.
Skiing is fun. No, I didn't do it.
Snowboarding is fun.
All right, but you can do that in a couple months and then, okay, it's done.
You
nice,
know,
pretty
you
flowers.
Really want to go. See, I'm I've grown up here and we get excited when it
sprinkles.
Snows an inch. Or less
yeah.
than that. But
you do.
We do get excited. But that's enough
Something
for us.
Yeah, hey.
We've got, that's good. If we need to go out to Mount Lemmon.
That's right. That's right. Well, we're just about almost at the end of our wonderful show here, We'd Say Wednesday. Let's give a little plug here because we have not yet even taken a moment to say thank you to Growers House. If you live in the Tucson area or you shop online for hydroponics, anywhere in the world, growershouse.com, or if you're here in Tucson, 227 East Valencia, cruise around the back, a little hidden gem of a place. Father-son team, they are awesome. Wholesale price, hydroponic equipment. Also, get your meds tested, kids. Very important to find out if there's any bugs or if you have aliens, bring them here because we want to meet them. We're always looking for new friends. No fungus or pesticides. We don't like that, though. But it's important to test your meds, find out what works for you, what the levels are, what you need more of, less of, or if you just want your cannabinoid characteristics tested, you can go to azmedtest.com and find out more information. Also, patients, people, anybody, Mary Jane Survival Guide is an excellent medical marijuana patient guide for anyone, everyone seeking MMJ information in the state of Arizona and the world at large. Recipes, pictures, articles, clinics, clubs, and more, mjsurvival.com. Always thanks to Tumbleweeds Health Center for hosting this fun event. And we have our weekly Hempathy book, Food for Thought. Hempathy, Food for Thought. We're starting the book over. It's a great book. We got this at the Patients at a Time conference last April. And it is an attempt to show at a glance the illogical distinction between what is socially and legally accepted, the why, and what is forbidden. Why not? Scientists and doctors are making wonderful discoveries about how cannabis exerts its beneficial effects, and we need to publicize their findings in an unbiased way to the widest possible audience. Amen. We need to stop the obstruction of research and the criminalization of a useful plant.
Mm-hmm.
It's a plant, people. But, like cannabis, this information is meant to be shared. www.why-whynot.net. Check it out. Look at the book online because we're going to describe some pictures. I'll do the ooh one tonight. I think we should take turns doing the ooh one.
It is. It's kind of depressing.
It is depressing because if you look at these pictures, ew, there's a couple like army dudes, not even like just redneck, yucky, gross army guys out
there.
Landmines, I don't know. It's dark and they've got guns and cigarettes and they're either plant landmines. Why? Why would you do that? There are an estimated 110 million active mines scattered in over 70 countries. Not anymore, thanks to Angelina and Jolie. One for every 17 children or 52 people in our world. Another 110 million have been stockpiled. Like these guys are doing just that. 2,000 people are involved in landmine accidents every month. 2,000 people a month. Someone do the math. How many people a day get blown up? That's just wrong.
Well,
2,000
a
month? Oh, never mind. One victim every 20 minutes, it says.
What?
Holy cow. One victim every 20 minutes. Around
landmines?
Yes. Around 800 of these will die. The rest will be maimed. One demeanor is killed, and two are injured for every 5,000 mines cleared. About 100,000 mines are removed each year, but until recently, 2 million more were being planted each year. 100,000 are removed, but 2 million more are being planted each year. In 1996, the UN Secretary General increased his estimate of the resources needed to clear all existing mines from $33 billion to $50 billion, more than $50 billion. At the current rate, it would take 1,100 years to rid the world of mines. That's assuming no new ones were laid. Ew. Oh, not only ooh, but that's just wrong. Why? Why?
I'm glad I can't see that.
You're glad what?
I'm glad I can't see that.
The picture?
Pictures, yeah.
Yeah, it's not the prettiest of pictures, but we're going to make it pretty.
Yes,
because what Mr. Cannabis Kid's going to read here is really great. And here is the why not.
The why not.
We love
green
this part.
Machine.
Yeah.
Rudolf Diesel, 1958 to 1913, developed the first internal combustion engine to run on peanut oil, as he demonstrated at the World Exhibition in Paris in 1900s. Unfortunately, R. Diesel died in 1913 before his vision of the engine powered by vegetable oil was fully recognized. The use of vegetable oils for engine fuels may seem insignificant today, but such oil may become, in the course of time, as important as petroleum and coal tar products of the present time. When Henry Ford recently unveiled his plastic car, result of 12 years of research, he gave the world a glimpse of the automobile of tomorrow. Huh. Its tough panels, models under hydraulic pressure of 1,500 pounds per square inch from a receptacle that calls for 70% of cellulose fiber from wheat straw, hemp, and sisal, plus 30% of resin binder. The only steel in the car is its tubular welded frame that the plastic car weighs a ton, 1,000 pounds lighter than a comparable steel car. Manufacturers are already talking about how low-priced plastic cars and test public taste by 1943. So
They're
coming up with the plastic car, which kind of reminds me of like
the
cartoon.
That's the thing in the entire world.
Herbie, I can see Herbie going
plastic car.
But it can take just as much.
Ford's first car was built with an indestructible hemp plastic.
Right.
Yeah.
Now that sounds more realistic.
Right.
Yeah.
So all the
cars I'm not sitting in a plastic can.
Oh, I'll do it. We have to sit in these little tin cans.
I have a shout out.
Do it. Shout
to,
it.
The Night Watchman at Open Text.
Oh.
We wanted to give a shout out to our listeners out there.
All right.
They've been longtime listeners. So shout out to the Night Watchman at Open Text. Thanks for listening, guys.
Hey, we would. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Tell your friends. Bring your friends.
Bring your friends.
Well, in closing, we would like to thank all you listeners out there. Mm-hmm. We would like to thank all of us for joining us again this week. It's been great. Jeremy, thank you so much for sharing all of your information about World AIDS Day, Swahili,
Tanzania,
and more. It's awesome.
It was awesome.
We could do this for hours.
And I had fun. Has been, but it's been like 5 hours.
Well, we'd like to thank Growers House, AZ Med Testing, Mary Jane Survival Guide, and Tumbleweed Health Center for hosting Weed Day Wednesday. Come to Tumbleweed Health Center this Saturday for class. It's Growing with Kind Kyle. Check out all the new accessories on sale. And Tumbleweed Health Center will be at the World AIDS Day this Saturday.
Yes,
4 p.m.
So,
whenever anybody stops coming down there.
Tumbleweed is closing at early today.
Thank you. Tumbleweeds will be closing. Saturday.
On Saturday.
Yeah,
at 3 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Yeah, Tumbleweeds is open noon to 2 on Saturday so that they can get down there, set up, and participate.
Yeah, come down and support Tumbleweeds and everyone else that's putting together World AIDS Day. Positively Beautiful, Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation, COPE, Pima County Health Department, Flux Productions,
Hotel Congress.
Hotel Congress, thanks so
Woo-hoo.
Much.
Yeah, and the great citizens of Tucson, Arizona. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and
educate. Thanks, guys.
Get tested.
Yeah.
Get tested.
Get tested. Ow.